Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business, by business owners, for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. Today, it's my very great pleasure to introduce you to Ashley Cervantes-Thomas. And we're going to be discussing being the guardian of your workplace. Now, sometimes the need for physical security is on the rise in many workplaces, and many business owners and executives are being tasked with becoming the guardians to keep everyone safe. So a little bit about Ashley. She is a seasoned security executive who is passionate about all things related to security solutions, physical risk mitigation and management. She holds a master's in business administration from the University of California. And in her 15-plus year career, she has overseen hundreds of security professionals who specialize in armed security and executive protection. Ashley is based in Northern California, where she serves as the Chief Executive Officer of Guardian Protection Force Incorporated, as well as the founder of Guardian Security Solutions. It's a full-service technology-centered security operations center. Ashley has built a legacy established by prioritizing core values each day to deliver the highest caliber security service to our communities and to our customers. Her ultimate mission is to be the guardians of the communities that she serves. Ashley, welcome to Talking with the Experts. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Rose, the pleasure is all mine. It never stops ceasing to amaze you when I hear somebody introduce me that way, and I get to say, oh, I did. It was me. I did do those things. Those are true. That is accurate. So it's always a pleasure, and it is truly my life's passion and the career I feel very called to. And so I'm happy to be here talking about it with you, and hopefully I'll be able to add some value for your audience today as well.
Wonderful. How did you go from, doing business administration to doing security and guardianship of workplaces? What prompted this change?
Yeah, so here in the U.S., I started out in a pretty large segment of the private security industry, which we call loss prevention. And so I know it's a little different and looks a little bit different in different markets and different countries. But for us, retail loss prevention, at that time, anyways, when I was working in the field, it was a lot of undercover. So plain clothes. I was a young Hispanic female. I was one of the only women in the division that I worked for. And I definitely was by far the youngest at the time. And so I really got a unique opportunity to explore that field that I sort of just fell into. I had started out working as a sales associate, and I had a manager who really was a great mentor, and she observed that, I sort of had a knack for catching people stealing. And so that's sort of how it started. And so fast forward, that was almost 20 years ago. And with that little bit of experience, and I worked with some phenomenal mentors, a lot of folks with different experience, a lot of retired law enforcement, former and current military that are called into roles like that because it aligns with their skill sets and sort of, their experiences that many of them have had. And so I got sort of coached and mentored by this amazing group of folks in this loss prevention role that I fell into. And then fast forward, I was working in a few different arenas, business administration, but because of my security background, I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to work in the private security sector, which especially here in California is a really unique space to operate in. And so that's how the journey began. That's the, the nutshell version.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's quite a journey, really, starting from one thing and sort of changing to another. But I think you really need that that passion and drive to be in the security market, I think, and it's something that you have to align yourself to. I don't think it's something that you just fall into. That's in my thinking anyway. I don't know what how you think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's definitely a mentality that comes more naturally to some folks. And I think some folks are just, a little bit more naturally drawn to fall into that protector role or fall into that safety, they're safety-minded folks, right? And so I grew up in a little bit of a rougher neighborhood, and I'm sure that played a part, right? Each of us have our own unique makeup and story. And so I'm sure all of those factors absolutely have played a part in my journey anyways. And a lot of the professionals that I work with, I know that that's been their experience as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I'd like you to maybe share an overview of the physical security market, the landscape in the US at the moment.
Yeah, it's a really unique and fascinating market to be in. And I will say that's been part of my growth journey has just been I'm a lifelong learner and there's so much to learn. I'm far from an expert on the market itself, but what I'll say is what's unique about the market here in California and the United States at large is we really have some unique factors contributing to security concerns in the US, right? So it's no secret to US citizens and certainly not to the rest of the world, the incident rates of active shooter situations, the rise of homelessness, all of these factors play a role in and certainly have an impact on infrastructure security. And so there's different countries have taken different approaches to how they manage and how they allow the private sector to operate, right? And truly here, at least in the California market, I can say we don't want to compete with law enforcement, but rather supplement law enforcement, right? Their private security and law enforcement have two separate. So the other unique factor here in the United States that's really impacted this industry is there's been a lot of this movement to, I'm going to use air quotes here, but defund the police, and a big really a pushback on law enforcement at large here in the US. And so that has really created some interesting shifts in expectations around private security. And so business owners find themselves oftentimes in an interesting dynamic where they have safety concerns, like we talked about, right? They have security, physical security issues. They call law enforcement. And here in the US, where you most business owners, if you've been in business any length of time, you're accustomed to getting a response in most areas within a reasonable amount of time. Up until the last maybe, 5 to 7 years, that has really shifted. And so I talk to business owners every single day who will tell me things like, we called law enforcement because fill in the blank, some major situation, somebody was stealing, somebody was threatening to har cause harm at my place of business. And they don't get a response from law enforcement anywhere from 4 hours to never, right? And so, it's really an interesting time to be operating in this market. So what those business owners then do is they say, well, if we're not going to get a response or we're not going to get a timely response from law enforcement, we're going to hire private security to supplement that. And so that's a lot of what's happening in the market. It's really fascinating to sort of watch and see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I don't know that we have so much of that problem here in Australia. I think our law enforcement are pretty quick to act on if there is a call in to prevent someone from stealing or whatever. But and we're lucky that we don't have any of those terrible shooting events that are happening. Our gun laws here are pretty tight.
Yeah.
After we had a major incident some years ago, that a number
Yeah.
of people died, and our gun laws were tightened so that you need certain licenses and mental health checks before you can own a firearm. So yeah, I think it's interesting, the differences between, the US and Australia and how we handle, gun security and gun laws and how our law enforcement acts, when there is an incident of any type like that.
And I mean, it's fascinating, and you can kind of follow the trail. I think to law enforcement's credit, it's not that they don't want to respond, it's that they don't have the bandwidth. So as we push more and more, there's more and more pressure to spend less, to make bigger cuts, to have less of a police presence in communities. This this concept of active community policing has been really just kind of dumped on its head. I mean, just 50 years ago, what you would see in most major cities in the United States, regular, we call them a beats for the patrol officers that would be patrolling a certain set district. There would be two officers per vehicle with a backup or a floater who was able to rove between districts to provide that additional support. And so that, just 50 years ago, that is how that looked. Maybe even a little bit less in some areas. And so to go from that, it's really dwindled down. There's nowhere in, I don't want to say nowhere in the US, but almost nowhere in the US where you're going to see two police officers in one vehicle, unless it's a training or ride along situation, right? That's not going to be your standard for the vast majority of the United States. And so then as we cut it back more and more from there. And so it's really fascinating to kind of see. There was actually a wild situation not too long ago here in Southern California. There was somebody actively wielding a machete and on a campus, and it took law enforcement, I think it was almost 4 hours to be able to respond. So you're talking like, a lot of times the business owners who I'm dealing with are frustrated because they have a break-in or they have something that it would be really nice to have law enforcement come respond and take the report, but it's not, oftentimes it's not something that's urgent and important and pertinent where they're not responding for several hours, hopefully, but you do hear about that. And so that department, had, that was their backlog. They could not get there any faster. And it's unfortunate, that's the state that we're in, but that's where we are.
It
So,
is.
like I said, the cool thing on my end, it's bittersweet as a member of public communities, as a citizen of of these areas. I'd prefer for it to look a little different, but on the flip side, I get to be someone who helps bridge the gap for those folks. And so, yeah, so that's where I spend a lot of my effort and energy these days.
Well, it sounds like it's can be quite challenging. Now, I'd like you maybe if you could make an introduction to some risk assessment and workplace violence prevention planning, because I know even here in Australia there are instances where there is violence in the workplace. How can we mitigate that? How can we better prepare our workplaces to minimize violence?
Yeah, it's such a great question, and it's a huge passion. We've had here at Guardian Protection Force, we have had a workplace violence prevention program available to our clients and their employees for, gosh, I don't know, over a decade now. And it's interesting, in California in particular, we just passed a law last year that finally mandated workplace violence prevention planning for all employers. And so what's interesting about that is we offered this as an enhancement, as something that people really cared about because they cared about it, not because it was a requirement, to now we're getting lots and lots of phone calls. Can you help us write this workplace violence prevention plan? And of course, we want to help people, but at the same time, what's interesting is if you're just doing it to check the box, it's a very different conversation than if you are truly interested in preventing violence in your workplace. And so I think for your listeners there in Australia, I don't know what the requirements or regulations are around it. But it is something truly I can tell you every workplace can benefit from. And I have yet to run into an HR administrator or an owner operator or an operations person who I couldn't spend, 20 minutes to an hour with and convince them how creating these plans wouldn't benefit their business, right? Like there's so, and I'll give you an example. I have a florist as a client, and you know, some people are like, oh my gosh, well, what could a florist ever need workplace violence prevention? But like, who goes to a florist and is upset, right? But the reality is, my florist is my client for a reason. And so there truly are no, there's no business in the world that can operate that isn't, I'm sorry, there's no business in the world that is operational that would not benefit from considering how to prevent violence in their workplace, whether it's customer to employee, employee to employee, or unfortunately, here in the US, one of the most common forms of violence in the workplace that's been documented over the years is actually someone who knows your employee who's there not for purposes of business. That's the really sad case of the ex-husband comes and does something atrocious in the wife's workplace or ex-wife's workplace or soon to be ex-wife's workplace because they know where to find her Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, right? So every single business, if you have employees or customers, which I don't know how your business, if you don't have employees or customers, can benefit from thinking this through, and having an honest conversation about how do, what are our, what is our risk exposure, and what can we do to address it? It's really as simple as calling out the elephant in the room, and you certainly can hire someone like me to walk you through that. But I think where it starts for most businesses of all sizes is truly just asking the question, what, where is my risk? What is my exposure? It's calling out the elephant in the room, the thing that none of us want to talk about. I shouldn't say none of us. I have people that I work with that that's all they want to talk about because that's what they do. But most folks, you know, it's not the highlight or the top of your to-do list in most cases. But it is, it does boil down to life or death situations. And if you could, if you could prevent even one incident from happening because you thought through what could happen or how you could create barriers, that's a huge win. And so I think that's what gets me really excited in talking about this and coming on with folks like you, Rose. Thank you for this opportunity just to share that piece of it. So I'd love to go, you know, I could talk about this all day, so I'll let you kind of dictate, you know, what else can I share that might be helpful in that realm for your listeners.
That was really helpful, Ashley. I think, you know, we all need to make ourselves aware, and I know in Australia it is the employer's responsibility to make sure that their staff are safe at all times, and there are really strict laws here to if something happens to an employee because the workplace isn't safe, you know, that they can, you know, cop huge fines or even jail time out of that. You know, we're very strong here in protecting our employees, and we don't often hear of violence in the workplace, whether it is from a customer or, you know, employee to employee, and I mean, it doesn't make the news, put it that way. So you know, we as citizens don't often hear about these incidents, but I'm sure that they happen. And you know, I think keeping your employees safe is should be paramount in and top of mind to all employers. You know, if you don't have your staff, you don't have a business. So, you know, why not do the right thing and follow the letter of the law and make sure that it you know, everything's in place.
Absolutely. And it, when it is in the grand scheme of things, it's relatively easy to do to just start the conversation. And of course, you know, every business is going to be a little bit unique with what follows that. But step one is just starting the conversation, and having the foresight to think through, where is my risk, or how do I understand what potential threats exist for my business and for my team?
Absolutely. Now, you know, females quite often are the subject of violence, whether it might be domestic violence or, you know, being robbed in the street or, you know, some man in the workplace thinks, you know, that he's better. How can we as females mitigate that And, how can we keep ourselves safer?
I love that you pointed that out. And actually, in the US, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we are 75% of workplace violence victims. So females account for the vast majority of violence that occurs in many arenas. But specifically, if we're going to talk about the workplace, we represent 75% against of all violence is taken against female employees. So I think that's such a fantastic question, and I'm a big proponent and fan of women's basic self-defense and women just sort of understanding situational awareness. I think oftentimes, and I can't speak for all cultures, I am an American who was born and raised in America. I've traveled quite a bit, so I feel a bit fortunate to have experienced different cultures. And I can say in my experience, oftentimes women are trained to ignore our primal senses that are designed to keep us safe. We are trained from birth in many cultures, again, not all, but most cultures that I'm familiar with train women to be respectful and polite, and we don't want to make others feel uncomfortable. And so, unfortunately, what that translates to is we have desensitized ourselves to the instincts that are, given to us at birth to keep us safe. And so there's lots of examples and so much research that's been done about that. And it's so disheartening for me as a woman who loves to empower other women to hear about these situations. So I think number one, situational awareness. I think for women, we have to know your instinct is a gift. And you should not and you cannot ignore it when it comes to your safety. Your safety is paramount. So the example I always like to give, the gentleman who's trying to be friendly and is very I won't say aggressive in this context, but in any other context, you would probably call him aggressive, but he's just being friendly. He just wants to help you carry your groceries, even though you told him 16 times you didn't need help. In those instances, let me say, woman to woman, you have permission to be rude. You have permission to say, thank you very much, but I said I have this. You have permission to draw that firm boundary. And I'll go a step further and say, not only do you have permission, but your life might depend on it. And I don't mean to sound like an alarmist, but there are lots of situations where women have faced near death or died because they didn't listen to that little voice inside. They didn't execute those effective boundaries. They didn't want to make a scene. They didn't want to be viewed as rude or dismissive. And it's cost some dearly. And so I think that's the biggest thing is like when we're aware of our situation, of all situations at all times, right? We were in tune with what is happening around us. The other big issue today, and it's not just for women, but it certainly applies to women more because we know women are so much more likely to be victimized, and it's this guy, right? We are all so distracted, right? I cannot tell you how often I see women, men, people, right? We just walk around like this, walking through parking lots, walking through whatever. And it is physically impossible to be situationally aware when you're distracted to that extent. And so, we hear stories of people just getting run over by cars, forget someone who is actually trying to cause harm. It's so much easier to pick out the person who's distracted and not paying attention. And so for women, I think that is just really huge. And I would say those are the two big takeaways, right? Situational awareness and trusting your instinct are the most important keys for women.
Great tips, Ashley. Thank you for so much for sharing. If you want to find Ashley anywhere on the webs, you can find her on Facebook at Guardian Protection Force, on LinkedIn at Guardian Protection Force. She's also got a website, gpfsecuritycorp.com, and she's on Instagram. And she has a product or service that you would like to share with us today, Ashley.
Yeah, I would love to offer a no-cost risk assessment for anyone that is interested, and we can do those virtually. So although I am based in California, I service clients throughout the US, and I have worked a little bit internationally. So I'd be happy to to offer a no cost, no obligation risk assessment to any of your listeners that would love to learn a little bit more about how to get started. And while I may not be familiar with all of the markets or the Australian market in general, I definitely have a little bit of background and lots of connections globally that I could help point you to a great contact if anyone is interested in that.
Wonderful. Actually, I think safety is safety. It doesn't matter what country you're living in. And I think the rules around being safe and staying safe transcend borders.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Rose.
Is there anything that you'd like to share with our audience other than what we've discussed already?
Well, Rose, I want to say thank you to you for putting on this amazing podcast. You have such a diverse speaker base that you've had interviews with, and you really do such a great job of covering all the topics. I think the big things that I've shared already today, and I think you highlighted it just now, safety is safety no matter where you are. And once you begin the thought process, I think that's step one and that's most important. And I know oftentimes in my industry, we specialize in armed security here in the US and executive protection, which is the industry term for bodyguard services. Oftentimes in the UK and Australia, it's called close protection. There's a few different, but the Hollywood term is bodyguard services. And I have folks tell me all the time, well, I don't need a bodyguard. Well, no, most folks don't, but everyone could benefit from the forethought that goes into the work that we do with the folks that we're providing that executive level protection to. So whether it's, a podcast or sorry, Hollywood, all the way up to, a CEO. So I think everyone can benefit from that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, I think whatever station you are in life, as I said before, safety is paramount. And, if you've got children, keep them safe. And if you're not safe, then you can't keep your children safe.
Absolutely.
Ashley, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much again for having me, Rose.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.